Well, turn with me in your copy of the scriptures to the book of Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at Philippians 2, 17, I think it's 16 to 30 on the PowerPoint. Today we're going to be talking about the importance of following godly examples. Sounds simple, it's really a core part of Christianity. Paul helps us with that in the book of Philippians. Remember last week we talked about your Christian reputation and how important it is. Your reputation does matter. You certainly can't control what people think about you, but you can control the way that you act, the way that you live your life, the way that you think, and the way that you treat others and things. And it matters. We live in a twisted world, a crooked world. Like I said, we used to say, oh, that person is crooked as a snake. And it is a very corrupt world. As we spent a fair amount of time just talking about the crooked nature of the world last week. And one of the things that strikes me every time we do any sort of exercise like that, I don't know that I necessarily want to do that every week, you know what I mean? Or every month even, just reviewing how bad the world is, because that'll just flat get you down, right? Because it really is pretty twisted. It's crooked. It's corrupt. But what strikes me is I think about that. I think this is an important thing to remember is how insulated you get to the twisted nature of the world. You live here and you just kind of take it for granted. And in a sense, it's the twistedness of the world ceases to shock you. That's not a good thing, right? It's not a good thing. I think again, I don't want to spend time there and I don't want to meditate on that a lot, but just to be reminded of how twisted the world is and how far as people we have departed from the ways of the Lord and the will of the Lord, that is a good thing to remember. And the evil of the world should shock us. It's not okay. It's not a good thing. And the world is very twisted. The culture does not that the culture just accepts the evil of the world, but the culture promotes the evil or the twisted nature of the world. That's the problem. And so it's easy just to sort of, well, you know, everybody accepts that. It's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. The Lord has made the world to work a certain way, and we have rejected that as people in general, right? Christians have not. We have embraced that, amen? We have embraced God's will, God's word. We want to live different. We want to be different. But it's easy when we live here in this physical world to be affected by the twisted culture. We need to be aware of that and be careful. Don't let the twisted world change the way that you think and live. And you know, it should. You know, like I said, on the issue of abortion, I don't understand it. I don't even understand how it's a conversation. I mean, we want someone to kill babies. Why? How? How did that become a thing, right? I think that should be your mindset. I mean, it's just thou shalt not kill. It's very simple. And people will say, well, it's a very complicated issue. No, it's not complicated. It's culturally complicated, but a baby is killed. How is that complicated? It's not complicated. It's because of the twisted world. The world is twisted and twists you right around. It'll twist you up. Their worldview and their ideas and their thoughts will twist you. It's easy. You have to remember that. We live in this twisted world. And so your reputation matters even more, I would say. We could take the thing and say, well, look at the world. It's so bad. At least I'm not them. No, that's not it, right? It's they are the way that they are. I need to be better. Right? I need to be a better Christian, not just better than the world, but a better Christian. I need to be more like Christ. I need to shine like a bright example in this twisted world. Do all things without grumbling, without complaining, without disputing. God's people must not be complainers because we are so blessed. We need to be growing in holiness. Holiness without any evil or impurity. And representing God well, children of God, holding fast the word of life, Paul said, Paul held up his sacrifice. We're going to see that again today. He wanted to be able to rejoice, them to rejoice in his sacrifice and not grumble. This week we go to the next section, And we're going to take a look. So you go from Christian reputation to some sort of practical ideas of discipleship, following godly Christian examples. We'll probably flesh this out a little more, but you know, you'll hear, well, I follow Jesus, and you know, and I don't need people in my life, I don't need church or whatever. That's just patently not true. God has given you human examples to follow. Discipleship is following, and we're going to see that today. Read along with me, follow along as I read. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. That I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what is lacking in your service to me. Awesome. Let's pray. Lord, once again, thank you for an opportunity to get into your word together. And thank you for the wonderful message we had in the ABF hour, and just remembering the importance of humility and community in Christ, and being able to serve together and work together, and what a joy it is, how fun it is to serve together, and those that love you to strive together side by side. And God, again, thank you for this opportunity to look now into Philippians again and think through discipleship in general and life and Christ and the examples that you've given us. And so we pray that you'd guide us through your word. Help us as we internalize the truths of Scripture and change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, three godly examples. Four, I suppose we're going to look at a fourth example. But three godly examples are held up to us in this passage as people to follow. And Paul first starts out by holding himself up as an example to follow. Even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul's example was a literal living sacrifice. They understood when Paul told them that he was sacrificing for them, no mystery. They understood it. And it's not that he was just going to die, because he talked about that. He was convinced that he would live on, but that he was being poured out at the moment as he lived for Christ, that his life was being poured out for Christ, and in this case, into them. He was poured out for them. He used a drink offering illustration there, the final offering. And that his life would be a pleasing aroma to Christ as he offered that up, just as they did that illustration of the Old Testament sacrifice. Paul's heart for them was to be encouraged as he was poured out. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? His care for them and his love for them. He was suffering. He was in prison currently, if you'll remember. And he was suffering for them, but he was concerned for them. He wanted them to be glad. He wanted them to rejoice. Paul always wanted the best for others. What an amazing example, amen? You get the sense that with the Apostle Paul, what you see is what you get. There was never some hidden motive or hidden agenda or some undermining garbage, or he was trying to do something. He just shot it to you straight, and you knew his heart. He loved them. He wanted the best for them. He didn't want to use them. He didn't want to hurt them. He wanted God's best for them. It's an amazing example. Amazing example of a life well lived. He set himself up as an example to follow. Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. They had seen Paul live out his faith, you remember, in Acts 16, as he was imprisoned and suffered for them, thrown in the stocks and left there with no trial. His commitment to Christ was lived before them as he lived with them after that and ministered as they met him and saw him in day-to-day life. He risked everything so they could hear the gospel as he went through that world that was oftentimes hostile to the things of the Lord. He risked so that they could hear and be saved. That's an incredible example. You think about it today, what are people willing to risk? I remember a young man, a story this year, maybe it was 2 years ago, but recently, he went, there's some islands in India where they don't allow foreigners to go in. They're trying to keep it, I suppose, rustic is the, they're trying to keep it like it is. He decided he was going to go and share the gospel with them anyway. He did have to break their law. You know, you can talk about whether he should have or not. It's not important, but I actually heard Christians say he should have used wisdom because he got killed. Oh, it wasn't wise. He should have known he was going to get killed. And, you know, isn't that interesting? That's wisdom, to leave people in their sin, never hearing the gospel. That's not wisdom. That man risked, right? He paid, in fact. He paid his life, but his life. Paul was the same way. He risked for these people. He wanted them to know the truth. He knew that life is dangerous, and he could die at any moment for going and sharing the gospel. In fact, he was stoned and thought to be dead, probably killed, or at least close to it, sharing the gospel. Paul risked. Some things are important, and the gospel is important, and he was willing to lay down his life. They saw that. They knew that. And it was personal because he risked his life for them. Pretty amazing. He risked his life for them, and they saw that. He wrote from prison, and he was not ashamed to say, "Follow me." That's pretty huge, isn't it? Follow me. Do what I do. Live the way I live. Think the way I think. And you'll be following Christ. That's pretty awesome. He wasn't ashamed to do that. And that's just a testimony of his life. He was a godly example. He was someone you could follow. I think that way of myself often. And I hope you do too. If someone followed me, if they imitated me, would they end up more like Christ or not? That's just a great point, isn't it? If someone just imitated me, how would they turn out? Timothy, the young man that Paul met on his first missionary journey. Timothy was a native of Lystra, the province of Galatia. Timothy came from a family who loved God. His mother Eunice was Jewish and a believer. His grandmother Lois was also a believer. His father was Greek. We don't know much about him. Not mentioned in the Bible. Probably pagan, maybe even deceased by the time we hear about Timothy. Timothy was beloved by Paul. As you read these, see if you think what I do. I think it feels like Paul kind of adopted Timothy. It really does. He called him a son, and really, he certainly met a son in the Lord, right? But it seems like he became his male example. If his father had died, Paul is, you know, like a father figure to Timothy. He kind of adopts the young man. I'm sure he was old enough, but still. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon that I may be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will genuinely concern for your welfare. They all seek their own interests, not those of Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with his father he has served with me in the gospel. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my beloved child. This is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason, Sosipater, my kinsmen. He goes on. There's several. I've listed a bunch of them. Timothy, our brother. When Timothy comes to see you, put him at ease. He's doing the work of the Lord as I am. He's in the same ministry. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God. Timothy, our brother, again. It's just clear that Paul loved Timothy. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. They were bondservants together, both in the same ministry, doing the same work. They traveled and ministered together for 10 years, and Paul called Timothy someone with the same ideas, right? So I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. New King James, I believe, renders that like-minded. But that's the idea. We have the same mindset. We're both concerned for your welfare. We both want what's best for you. Timothy's proven worth or his proven character, he was trustworthy. They could trust him. He cared for them. He's an example to follow, a godly man, a godly young man. Epaphroditus, then, is the next one. A little longer section even for Epaphroditus. Some particulars of what's going on in Epaphroditus' life. His name means belonging to or favored by Aphrodite, a pagan Greek goddess. Later came to mean loving or lovely. It's often used as short for Epaphras, so it's possible that this Epaphroditus is the same Epaphras from Colossians 1:17 and 4:17. Most people would say probably not, because Epaphroditus and Epaphras was a common name, but it's possible. He was a Greek. Epaphroditus is the ordinary guy. You have the apostle, you have the pastor, and then you get the ordinary guy. These are the three godly examples to follow. An ordinary Greek man, not like Paul, not like Timothy, but a wonderful example. The Philippians trusted him with their gift to Paul, and he was willing to serve and risk his life. Paul was in prison, not like the prisons we have today. They didn't feed you or care for you at all. Your friends and family had to, or you would die. Paul was on trial, and he was imprisoned. Epaphroditus had to identify with Paul to be able to minister to him in prison. So the people that had imprisoned Paul, he was saying, I'm with him. So you do risk when you do that. His life was on the line. He even disregarded his own health. You see in 27, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, not only on him, but me. Right? He was sick, he was still ministering, and he risked, just like Paul did. Even in his sickness, he was concerned for others. Isn't that awesome? He has been longing for you, has been distressed because you heard he was ill. Have you ever met a person like that? I've known a few. They're more worried about you when they're ill, right? You know, my mother was like that at the end. She hung on because she was worried about us. You know, and she asked right at the end, is it okay if I die? Is it okay? I'm tired. And we said, yes, of course. You know, and she died shortly after that. She was just holding on for us because she cared about us. She was writing thank yous to hospice workers the week she died. Paul's testimony of Epaphroditus, a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, minister and messenger, a godly example of a zealous, others-oriented servant. Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, a wonderful example. Now, all three of these men, had a proven character. They were a godly example, and through their works or through their life, you could see they were faithful. Their faithfulness was on display. They sacrificed. They put others' needs ahead of their own. They gave of themselves. They risked their lives. They disregarded their own safety and health to serve. They spent their lives investing in others. Truly Christ-centered and others-oriented. These men could lead you to Christ. If you followed any of these three men, you would be more like Christ. That's why their example is held up to us as godly people to follow. Now, Paul gives us a very brief, as a proven character, that gives a very brief contrast in the middle of this as well. Others, and it's throughout Philippians where there is a contrast of the godly and the ungodly. Very common theme in the Bible, but in this, the contrast is the ungodly people claiming to be of Christ, claiming to be followers of Christ, but not. And anybody can say they're a Christian, right? Only God knows, and only the redeemed are truly in Christ. They all seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Pretty strong statement. It appears that there are more ungodly examples than godly. That's sad, amen? At least it was enough that it was a real problem. You know him, follow him, because everybody else just seeks their own. They're just doing their own thing. You don't want to follow them. And it's really sad. and more, maybe more than the godly examples. Many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, their glory is in their shame, with their minds set on earthly things. They're not following Christ. They're trying to get others to follow them, but they're not following Christ. So the contrast that Paul is drawing for us here, just briefly, is the contrast of the godly and the ungodly. And these are teachers, people that are trying to get a following, the godly and the ungodly. The contrast is self-serving versus serving others. The contrast is destruction with a relationship with Christ. So these enemies of the cross of Christ, self-serving people destined for destruction, no relationship with Jesus Christ, certainly not people to follow. Fools, studying the Psalms right now, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's interesting, isn't it? I don't want to preach that message now, it's for later, but it's interesting that the atheists will tell you they're the ones with reason. The Bible tells us they're the fools. Isn't that interesting? And it's very easy to see that. Not people to follow, or you will end up where they end up. If you follow someone who is self-serving and following the ways of the world, remember last week your Christian testimony matters, you're going to end up following the ways of the world, believing the lies of the devil. You got to follow godly examples. People with a proven track record of following Christ, people with a godly life, people who love the Lord, who lead you to more love of the Lord, right? Very important. The fourth example that, not in this text, but is certainly all through Philippians, and we're going to look just, I'll show this here to you to remember earlier in the chapter, the example of Jesus Christ. And I think that all of these guys that we're looking at today would tell you this, follow me as I follow Christ. As I follow Christ, follow me. Don't follow me because I know what I'm doing and I'm good and I'm smart or whatever. Follow me because I'm following Christ, right? That's what's important. Anybody can gather a following. Are you following Christ? Follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus is the example we really follow. We follow Paul because he followed Christ. Timothy's proven character was because he was a Christ-like character. Epaphroditus, we love his example. We follow his example because he served, because Christ is the servant. He came to serve. Jesus led others by example and modeled this kind of discipleship. He lived with his disciples. They could see his life and his actions. He called people to follow him. Follow me, right? It's very simple in the very beginning of the gospel. More than just teaching, but a relationship where they live together. This level of discipleship is meant to be personal. Jesus lived everyday life with his disciples. That's why it's important as we talk about this, following godly examples in Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ, we live together, we do life together. Following. Discipleship is at its core following. He said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. Not that it matters, per se, but this is the reason I live in Iowa. Do you know that? This is the reason I live in Iowa. If I could do my own thing, I would live on the Alabama Gulf Coast right now, where there is no snow, right? Where life is easy and everything is heaven. No, it's not true. People say paradise down there. I love that. I love it when someone says this paradise. Or one dude, well, welcome to paradise, right? Talk about a conversation starter, right? Yeah, this is not paradise. It's not heaven. Did you know that? There is a heaven, and you need to avoid the hell and embrace the hope of heaven in Christ. It's a great conversation starter. But this is why. Because God, I think of this often. I'd love to be down in Alabama fishing right now instead of scooping my driveway, right? And what does Jesus say? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. There's a time for fishing, but most of the time it's time to be fishing for men, right? This is where God has planted you. Serve him. And I think that's God's message to me in the last couple of years. Stay here, stick it out, and work with what I give you. All right, we'll do it. Let's do it. Let's do it with joy, right? Follow him. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus is the master. Follow me. To this you've been called. Christ suffered for you. It's an example that you might follow in his steps. We follow him. He's our master. We imitate him. We do what he calls us to do. And then we follow other human examples of people who are following Christ and are doing well. And it's very helpful if you think about it. You know, that's one of the biggest things that we probably do in the counseling ministry is people know about the Lord and they have the Bible and sometimes they know much about the Bible, but their life is a mess. We help them connect those dots. How? By living with them, right? By teaching them, by learning about them, by helping them and then giving them things to do in life, that things that we've had success with or things that we've learned. That's what it is. It's about fellowship, following. You imitate me. I've lived this life. You know, you get older and you just wish some of the young people would listen to you, right? Why? Most of the time, you just don't want them to repeat your mistakes. You've lived, you see. You gain experience. And in Christ, if you're a person that loves the Lord, you learn by that experience and you try to pass on that experience to the people that are following. Brothers, join in imitating me. Could you say that? Could you say that this morning? Would you want to? Follow me, imitate me. Be like me. If your faith was like mine, you would know Christ more in a deeper, more personal and relational way. If you imitated me, you'd be more godly at the end of the day. You could be like me. You would know Christ. Imitate me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Watch for people that are successful in Christ and follow them. It's a high calling, amen? It's kind of scary, isn't it? It's kind of scary. It's how God has designed this life to work. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me and the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. You, however, followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Most of the brothers, notice this, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, Paul is saying, they're seeing me. The brothers are looking at me. The brothers in Rome are seeing me in prison. And you know what's happening? They're following me. They're confident now because they know if Paul can suffer like this and have joy and serve, I can do it. You see? God gives us these human examples. It helps connect the dots. Sometimes we need that, right? We need to see a flesh-on person. Therefore, you are ambassadors for Christ, right? People need a flesh-on person to show them, what does it mean to follow Christ? How do I do it in this scenario or this part of life or in my family or whatever? I need an example, a human example. God has given us his word. It's enough. But he's also given us the church. And he's given us other believers in our life to help us in this, to help him, us follow him well. And you can see that. You know, you can look back on life. You've met and you know people. And you look back and when someone goes to be with the Lord, and sometimes there's, honest, let's just be honest. Sometimes you're just like, wow, you know, that's sad. That was a waste of a life. But often you look back at that person's life and you say, I've said many times to some of my friends, he made it. He did it. He pulled it off. He landed. He's in heaven now. We're just testifying of Elva's faithfulness today again. What a faithful servant Elva was. And she's with Christ now. You know, you look back and it's what an example Elva left for us to follow in her footsteps and to emulate her. We need that very often. Honor such men, Paul says. It causes growth. It causes growth. We follow those examples. Honor such men. Receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. He nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what's lacking. That's Epaphroditus. Wow. Show honor to that person. Follow his example. Both people and Jesus are noted here in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what are they? People, right? Those are the Epaphroditus's. Did you know that? Those are the Epaphroditus's. Okay, there are judges and there are Moses and all that stuff. And there were others too. There were the Epaphroditus's in there. Just normal people like the rest of us. So since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Notice, looking to Jesus then. We have the human example, and we have who we're really following is Jesus Christ. We're following together, looking to Jesus, the founder and protector of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Following is what the Christian life is about. So, to wrap it up, or in closing, what's our call? Certainly to follow, right? To be good followers. You should have some good godly example in your life as you follow Christ. You should have someone that helps you, someone that you're looking to. And then also lead others to follow Christ. And it happens at the same time. I think we get this weird sort of false dichotomy, I suppose, in human life where we're like, well, I'm more of a disciple. No. And it shocks our counselees a lot of times. They're getting close to done. And I say, you know, the next thing I want you to do, I want you to tell someone what you've learned. What? You know, I'm a counselor. I'm here for her help. No, it happens at the same time. You're following and you're leading all at the same time. That's what God wants you to be doing. Teach by example. One of the Puritans, Thomas Brooks, said, example is the most powerful rhetoric. Anybody can say whatever they want, right? How are you living? Does what you say you believe, does it make a difference in your life? Has it changed you? Are you more godly at the end of the day? Are you more like Christ? Life in Christ is meant to be relational. One of the greatest blessings of being in the church is godly friends. One of the funnest things to do is to walk through life together and just to be able to share life and be able to share ministry and serve Christ together. God can use the godly example of others in your life. It's hard sometimes because, you know what, old Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus were still sinners, weren't they? Right? You think they ever blew it? Think the Apostle Paul ever got in somebody's face and he shouldn't have? You better believe he probably did, right? Huh? They're still sinners. It's hard. But it doesn't lessen the need and the call to follow their example. Right? It's because the general tenor of their life, the direction and the focus of their life were towards Christ. They were going to mess up. Hey, don't follow that one. They'd probably tell you that sometime. All right, remember last week? Don't follow that one. Right? That happens. But you can, in general, if you follow them, you're going to end up more like Christ. God can use godly examples of others in your life, even fallen people and failed leaders. God can use your godly example. And that is scary, and that's okay for it to be scary, but it's true. You're fallen, but you're also in Christ. If you're safe, you're born again, you're in Christ. He can use you, and he can use your example. It's very important, then, again, your Christian testimony then becomes very important. Parents understand this probably as well as anybody, right? I have to admit something kind of bad. I kind of think it's funny when a young parent comes to me and said, oh, my kid is driving me crazy. Yeah, well, what's the matter? Oh, they're doing this, 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 this. Well, they're kind of like you. Oh, well, I wasn't that bad. Right? What happened? Kids learn, right? They learn. They follow you. And so your example becomes very important, doesn't it? How are you living? How are you leading your family towards Christ's likeness? What's your character like? Is it important to you? If your children follow and walk in your footsteps, how will they turn out? I'm not saying they can't go their own way. They do. They're their own person, right? Happens all the time. And many friends of ours where one godly kid and one kid just completely off the rails. It happens. They have their own decisions to make, but you want to make sure on your end you're giving them a good example to follow in a Christ-like example. Let's pray. God, thank you once again for this reminder and these really the high standard of these three godly examples, or four now, in this passage. maybe it's a little overwhelming. It feels pretty heavy sometimes because the bar is high in Christ. But God, I pray that that wouldn't discourage us, but would encourage us to work more or to have more of a focus on following you and knowing you, to let you work in us and use us to make us more like Christ. God, there's likely to be some here or listening online that don't know Christ. There's likely to be some that have never really thought this through, and they haven't looked, even maybe taken seriously their Christian growth, or haven't tried to find someone to follow or live with or do life with or have ministry with. I just pray you'd give them vision and wisdom and just help them, and just give them real even insight into their own heart, and just help them to take the next step, whatever that would be. And for all of us, God, not just to be passively living as an example, but to be looking for ways to be a blessing to someone, to encourage people to follow us, and pray to that end. Just help us to be good disciple makers and active and purposeful in what we do. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.